Welcome to Enduring Words with David Guzik, a daily devotional podcast brought to you by Enduring Word.
Today, let's talk about a certain judgment and a certain deliverance. I'm going to read to you from Jude chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. So here's verses 14 and 15 from the short book of Jude. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they've committed in an ungodly way, and of the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." In the bigger picture, Jude warned early Christians about dangerous deceivers among them. In making the message, he drew on all sorts of biblical references, some that were obvious and some that were obscure. Jude gets obscure here in verses 14 and 15 of his brief letter. He brings up a man named Enoch, who's described in Genesis chapter 5, and he's also mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. When Jude quotes words from Enoch, he referred to ancient writings by Enoch. The ancient book of Enoch was not received as scripture, but it was highly respected among both Jews and early Christians. One ancient Christian, his name was Tertullian, wrote that Noah preserved Enoch's prophecies in the ark, and that they existed and were read until the times of the apostles. Now, it troubles some people that Jude quoted Enoch, that he references a book that is not accepted in the scripture. But remember that Jude also did not quote Enoch to tell us anything new, but to give us a vivid description of something the Bible already teaches. This isn't discovering a new revelation in a hidden text from secret scriptures. It's illustrating a scriptural principle with wisdom from a non-scriptural source. On the same principle, the Apostle Paul quoted non-biblical sources on at least three different occasions. That's Acts chapter 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and Titus chapter 1. Now, Jude's quoting of the book of Enoch doesn't mean that the whole book of Enoch is inspired scripture. Just as the portion Jude quotes, that's inspired scripture. You see, in the same way, when Paul quoted a pagan poet, he didn't mean that God inspired the entire work of that poet. Now, knowing this, we shouldn't miss what Jude says just because he makes reference to an interesting source. In quoting Enoch, Jude reminds us that the Lord is coming back and he's coming to convict all who are ungodly. In this quotation from the book of Enoch, Jude emphasized the words all and ungodly. In fact, he repeats the word ungodly four times in two verses. The point is clear, and it's important in regard to the dangerous deceivers among Christians in Jude's day and our own. God is coming to judge all of the ungodly. And when he comes, he will come to execute judgment on all. Many people who take the judgment of God lightly, but the most important question in the world is, will God judge me? Am I accountable to him? If you are, then you're a fool if you do not prepare to face that judgment. Think of someone who's arrested for a crime. They're given a date to appear in court, but they make absolutely no preparation for his or her appearance before the judge. That person would be a fool. The judge would rightly think, this person holds my court in contempt. They have no respect of this law or of me as a judge. The judge would be justified in passing a particularly harsh sentence on this person who did not prepare to face judgment. So how do you prepare to face the judgment that Enoch and Jude warned us about? You do it the same way that you would prepare for any important appearance in court. First thing, you got to get a good lawyer. The great thing about God's court of justice is that he offers up a court-appointed lawyer for everybody who wants one. The Bible says that Jesus is our defense lawyer. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says that we have an advocate in the sense that Jesus is our defender. It is as if we stand as the accused in the heavenly court before our righteous judge, God the Father. Our advocate stands up to answer the charges. And this is what he says. He's completely guilty, Your Honor. In fact, he's even done worse than what he's accused of. And now he makes full and complete confession before you. In our little picture here, the gavel slams and the judge asks, "What should his sentence be?" And our advocate answers, "His sentence shall be death. He deserves the full wrath of this righteous court." All along, our accuser, Satan, has great fun at all of this. We're guilty. We admit our guilt. We see our punishment. But then our advocate asks to approach the bench of the judge. And as he draws close to the judge, he simply says, "Dad, this one belongs to me. I paid his price. I took the wrath and the punishment from this court that he deserves." The gavel would sound again, and the judge would cry out, "Guilty as charged, penalty satisfied." Our accuser would be enraged. He'd want to know, "Aren't you even going to put that one on probation?" "And no," the judge shouts, "the penalty has been completely paid by my son. There's nothing to put him on probation for." Then the judge turns to our advocate and says, "Son, you said this one belongs to you. I release him into your care." Case closed. Friends, a human defense lawyer usually tries to argue for the innocence of his client. But our advocate, Jesus Christ, he admits our guilt. And then he enters his plea on our behalf as one who has made an atoning sacrifice for our sinful guilt. With our defense lawyer, we can be confident in the day of judgment. Hey, today is a day that you can live and walk in that confidence that Jesus is your advocate and that you will be safe in him on the day of judgment.
Thanks for listening to Enduring Words with David Guzik. For more information about David's ministry, visit enduringword.com.